we're just going to continue with that today. I'm teaching one gift at a time. It's almost impossible to teach it in 40, 45 minutes. And I went longer than that last week. Sorry about that. But we taught on prophecy last week. There's whole books written on just that topic. But I told you I might come back and teach a second part on it, but I just feel like that I need to just keep moving. This is more of an overview, and you get hungry for God and hungry for the Holy Spirit. You want to learn about tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, gift of faith, signs and wonders. Dig into the scripture and keep studying and stay hungry for the Lord. I want everything God has for me. And as your pastor, I want everything God has for you. And salvation is the most important thing. If you don't know Christ as Savior, He's here to save you today if you allow Him to do that. And you repent of your sins, you confess your sins to Him. He's faithful and just to forgive you. Invite Him in. He'll be Lord and Savior of your life. Most important decision we will ever make. Second most important decision, if we don't stay singles, who we marry. Whew, get quiet. Did y'all question that? It's like, well, I'm not sure about that one, Pastor. Well, it was a big decision whether you realize it or not. But you better start realizing it if you don't. But then there's more. There's another experience. It's all throughout the scripture called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You don't get it all at salvation. There's a power baptism that comes. And then you operate in a number of these gifts. We learn this as the Spirit wills. For ministry gifts to help others and serve others. So we talked about prophecy, and I'd just like to touch on that. Is any of the gifts that are in operation, especially prophecy, we always need to test it. We need to make sure it's confirmed. We need to make sure it's biblical. Look, again, that's true for everything. You need to test what I'm preaching to you on Sunday morning. Right? So that's just a common thread. And in our culture, just because it sounds good, make sure it is good. And we'll talk about that in a few weeks when we talk about the gift of discerning of spirits. And just wrap that one up this week. I'm excited about it. But test everything. And test prophecy. How do you do it? Is it biblical? Run it by somebody that in your spiritual circle that has maturity. But usually with prophecy, sometimes you can hear a word from God publicly or in a smaller group, and if it's the first time you've heard it, ask God to confirm it in other ways. And He will. He will. But at other times, the way prophecy works, you've already been hearing that from the Lord. You've been hearing it. He's been speaking to you. And then a prophetic word comes along, and that prophetic word confirms what you've already been hearing. So it's not one or the other. It's both and. And I just felt, but don't let any of these gifts, don't let prophecy, and listen to what I'm saying, don't let it guide your life in this context. Get ready. If you've heard from God and prophecy confirms it, you can count on it. If you've heard it and then God confirms it later, you can bank on that. You can live on that. But don't go looking for a prophecy in a church setting or a personal word or this and that and live your life by it without testing it and knowing it in your knower. Come on now. She's a senior lady now, a very elderly lady, one of the sweetest ladies you would ever meet. She loves Jesus with all her heart. She's spirit-filled. She was a very good friend to my mother and a very good friend to me to this day. This lady is as genuine a Christian lady as you would ever meet. But all her life, she let a word from God direct her. Always looking forward, receiving every... Let me tell you, everybody that says they're prophesying, they're not prophesying. Not anymore. But at the same time, please don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Prophecy's for real. We have a number of... probably two or three that are in the office of the prophet here. I talked about that last week. But anybody can prophesy, right? Can operate in a gift. And so we want that gift in operation in your life and in the life of the church. But this dear lady, everything was from God, whoever said it. And I've watched her life now for about 20 years. It's like a ping pong ball. She never really has clear direction because she lives her life on the latest word given to her. And she bounces here and she bounces. And I'm not talking about church hopping either. She bounces here. The vision for God has changed. Now the dream is different. Now my calling has changed. And she's a really sincere lady and she's all over the map because she listens to every prophetic word that comes her way. One-on-one in a small context of the local congregation at the national level. And I do I believe there's national prophetic voices? Yes, I do. There's no question in my mind. People are speaking prophetically at a national and a worldwide level. But let the Holy Spirit guide you. I've had some prophecy given to me this week that I know was God. I receive. I receive. And the gifts that we're talking about, prophecy, and today we'll talk about the word of wisdom, and next week we'll talk about a word of knowledge, and then the next week we'll talk about the discerning of spirits. A lot of times these gifts are in operation at the same time, and they go hand in hand, and they work together. When we get to the gift of faith and healing and signs and wonders, there's just a tendency you see in the scripture that those gifts work together. Somebody has faith, they pray for somebody to get healed, God heals. Wow! You know, so I just felt I wasn't going to teach the second half of the message last week, but I did need to touch on that. Can I get an amen? I want y'all to be full of the Holy Spirit. If you don't know Christ this morning, I want you to know Him. But there's so much more. There's so much more of the Holy Spirit. I want you to be full, overflowing, not just operating in a gift, but bearing fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness. When the Holy Spirit is in you and refreshing you and baptizing you, filling you on a regular basis, there's joy unspeakable and full of glory, and people come your way and the gifts are in operation and lives are changed. I want you to get hungry. If some of you have missed part of this series and you have questions about the Holy Spirit, I've really tried to not just preach, but to teach and also illustrate and make it practical. And by the way, isn't it interesting how God's moving the way we're preaching? We're seeing the Spirit do the things that we're talking about. But if you have questions, go back 4 or 5 weeks when I started and learn the Word of God. Even if you're skeptical or you're hungry or you don't know or you have questions, get hungry for the Word of God. Get hungry for the Father. Get hungry for Jesus. Get hungry for the Holy Spirit. And if there's other resources than Dale Gray that probably do it better, write it better, teach it better. But if you'll go back and listen to the series the last few weeks, if you've missed it, I want you to go back. I want you to learn. I want you to be full of the Spirit. And I want us to be a Spirit-filled Pentecostal church. That's why the Spirit was really given, Acts 1 and 8. You remember that? You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you so that you can be my witness. There's a lot of other things that go on, but it's the power to share the gospel. Well, hallelujah. Probably not going to get through these notes either. Hallelujah. I've got Mexican food on order. And I know exactly when it's going to be delivered, so you're safe. Look to your neighbor and go, thank God. Oh, I love you so much, and I love Jesus so much. We're singing those worship songs today, and everyone is just touching my heart. It actually just knocking my socks off because I know who I was without Christ. I'm not going back there. When you start singing about the grace of Jesus Christ and the cross of Jesus Christ and no longer being a slave to fear, my Lord have mercy. If that doesn't want to make you just do something, I don't know what. I'm just so grateful for what He's done for me. His grace is so sufficient. How many is thankful for the grace of Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. Well, please, Pastor, get to the message. Talk about the word of wisdom. There was a young pilot. I don't know if we have any pilots in the house, I know we have some guys that jumped out of planes in the military, but I don't know if we have any. I've always wondered about those guys that jump out of them, but I won't mention any names like Paul Niles, but I won't mention any names. You got to wonder about those guys. Thankful for them, all joking aside. He was a green, brand new pilot, been in training, and on one of his first flights, but for the most part, it had been smooth sailing for him. He had just, and I don't know all the terminology, he just got his license, his certificate, he had finished his school, he's done his test, he's a certified pilot, he's flying for a fairly good-sized airline, and he's had a handful of flights, but on this particular flight, he's flying into a major metro area, and as he gets about 150, 200 miles out, a heavy fog falls, and he can't see a thing. Now, he's been trained for that, because there's a lot of times the fog is there, the cloud cover's there, and pilots can't see. He had been trained, and for lack of a better term, he had had a real problem learning the rule book or the procedure book, the instrument book, all the way through. I mean, but he learned it. He memorized it. And because he had to memorize it to qualify to fly by instruments only. Right? You could understand that. And so he's getting ready to land in this metro area. And finally, he heard the voice of the air traffic controller, and the air traffic controller was saying, I'm going to have to put you in a holding pattern. This young guy, his first thought was, great. I can't see as it is. I'm flying into this big city. Great. He began to think, and maybe a little proud because he was so young. He realized that his plane and the passengers on that plane were in the hands of some guy 150, 200 miles away where he's getting ready to land this jet. Now he's in a holding pattern, but he was going to have to trust the voice of the air traffic controller and read the instruments that he had memorized from the rule book to get landed. So this all went through his thought process in a matter of 3 or 4 seconds. Instead of being proud and arrogant and skeptical, he said, you got it, man. I need all the help I can get. Let me tell you, just let me in. You know, if you're going to walk with Jesus Christ, you better say, you got it, Lord, because I need all the help I can get. If you think you've got it figured out, then you don't have it figured out yet. Because after all these years, I don't got it. Let me just say it's old Southern boy way. I get around my brother-in-law and it rubs off on me. I'm sorry, but he'll be gone in a week, and in another week I'll be talking right again. But you better say, I don't got it, Lord. You got it. I don't got it. I need you. So, I mean, he's blind. He can't see. He's in this holding pattern for 45 minutes with the rule book firmly in his head and the voice of the air traffic controller in his ears. And he landed safely. Such is the case with the Word of God, the rule book, the instruction manual, and the voice of the Holy Spirit. It's not enough to know the Word of God. It's where you start. Now, don't go out of here thinking I'm preaching heresy. I'm just trying to get a leap out of you. We believe this is His Word. But you better know how to hear the voice of Spirit too. And the more you know the Word, the more you'll be able to discern the voice of the Spirit. The more you understand the Word, the more you'll understand the Spirit. The Scripture said the letter of the law by itself kills. The Spirit gives life. So we need the letter of the law, the letter of the book, the letter of the love letter from God, the letter of the Word of God, working hand in hand with the Holy Spirit. It's the Word of God and the Spirit of God. We need to know the Word of God. We need to memorize a rule book, read the rule book every day, learn what to believe, and then get the grace of God and the power of the Spirit so that we can behave what we believe. Lifelong process. But I can't do any of that without the Holy Spirit. Even the scripture itself can become a dead book of letters or a dead book, a dead letters on white pages, but the Spirit will give enlightenment. If there's ever a time in our nation that we need to know the Word of God, it's now inside the church. Our general superintendent, thank God, one of his key initiatives, he's brand new, a year old, is he's tired of biblical illiteracy in the church. The church, across denominational lines, Assemblies of God, the Baptists, this or that. People need to know the Word of God. People need to know what God has to say. And then it doesn't stop there. We've got to be able to hear the Holy Spirit, walk in the Holy Spirit, operate in the Holy Spirit, tell others in the Holy Spirit, pray for others in the Holy Spirit, find direction in our life in the Holy Spirit. Dear Lord, if there's ever been a time in the Assemblies of God as a Pentecostal fellowship with only 60% baptized in the Holy Spirit somewhere thereabout, there's other movements that don't even believe it's there, even though it's in there, they cut it out of the book. We need the power of God, church. And the power of God is the Holy Spirit. So we read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 11. We read again. We've been reading it weekly. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. I like to call it the word of wisdom. Another translation says that. Word utterance. And to another, the utterance of knowledge. And the reason the ESV uses utterance because it is the spoken word. Okay? The utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another by faith, by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. Excuse me. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To the another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. And to another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. Let's talk just for a few minutes now. What the word of wisdom is not. Sometimes you got to, before you understand what something is, you got to know what it isn't. Okay? Joshua 1 and 8 said this. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. And let me just touch on that. And well, I love the first chapter of Joshua. Period. There's so much in it. But what the Lord was basically instructing General Joshua to do, who was going to become President Joshua, if I could use that illustration, is he said, you stay in the Word. You meditate on the law. You meditate. You think on the Word. You read the Word. You eat the Word. You learn the Word. You behave the Word. And you'll be wise. Not just wise, but you'll have direction. Not just direction, but you'll understand how to handle certain affairs of life. And we have a lot of them, don't we? They did then, too. And so that is a type. There's wisdom that comes from the Word. Please don't go out of here and say, Pastor said there's no. No, that is a wisdom book. But that's not what operating in the Word of wisdom is. So we need. And then you could read, and we know that Solomon was what? He was the wisest man on earth. Now, somehow God gifted him, and somehow he studied because he couldn't learn all the things he knew. He was well-versed, well-studied. He had, if I could illustrate Solomon, he probably had 8 earned doctorates. He understood biology and chemistry and just name it. I mean, he just knew everything about everything. But that's not, and even God had granted him some wisdom as well, because he asked for it instead of things. He asked for wisdom, and God gave him wisdom and the ability to learn and know and those things. But that's not what operating in the spiritual gift of wisdom is. But nothing wrong being as wise as Solomon, but boy, the wisest man on earth made some huge mistakes. Biggies. And of course we become wiser. You know, if you receive Christ this morning, it begins, first you're saved and you're saved. That's a done deal. But then you walk in relationship with Christ. How is your relationship with Christ? But as you walk with Christ daily and consistently, you will become wiser. Because as you walk with him, you become more like him and less like you. So what are some of the unchristlike things in your life, things that you may be practicing? You know what they are, and the Holy Spirit will show you if you don't already know. If you're walking in relationship with Christ, I become less like me, those negative attributes, and more like him. And I become wiser. And then we have experiences in church and in the Lord and in Christ. I become wiser. James 1 and 5 said this, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it'll be given to him. So you can ask for wisdom. If you look at the full context of that scripture, when you ask, you better believe and trust him for it. Otherwise, you'll be tossed like the waves of the ocean. But we need all these types of wisdom that I'm talking to you about this morning. But that's not what the word of wisdom is that we're talking about here in 1 Corinthians. It's not operating in the spiritual gift, word of wisdom. But I'd take a dose of all these, wouldn't you? Well, walk in it. If you hang out with Jesus, you will become wiser. I mean, it's a little contingent on you yielding to him. Because if you don't yield to him, once you know the truth of God and he shows something by the Spirit of God and you know this, you're not ignorant, you're stupid. I don't never use that word, but it's true. When we continue in behaviors that we know God's not pleased with as we hang out with God, that's not ignorance. And I'm not going to say that word again because I don't like it. I've had to help people get put back together again. So wisdom from the Lord as you hang out with the Lord is usually contingent on your behaviors as you're yoked with him. Whoo, give me a big amen. I didn't have to beat you over the head with that, but it's true. I'm trying to help you. But none of that is the word of wisdom that we read about here. Keep moving. What is the word of wisdom, Dale? Well, I'm going to read one scripture. I could find a lot, but let's read from 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 10. And here's where I've so enjoyed studying again these spiritual gifts. And when I came to you, brother, and let me say this up front. I know if you read several chapters here, the context of these few verses could be about the mystery of salvation. What a mystery. Jesus died on a cross to pay a price for my sins, to appease a holy God. He went to a grave where he was dead and rose on the third day so I could spend eternity with Jesus. I do believe if you read around it, it's certainly talking about the mystery of that kind of, isn't salvation still a mystery, but aren't you glad you have salvation? But I also believe that these scriptures apply to what I'm getting ready to talk about. And when I came to you, brothers, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. Not man's wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, possibly even some of the types I've talked about, but in demonstration of the Spirit in power. Now, that could be a lot of things. It could have been healing, signs and wonders, salvations, or miracles. But he's talking about wisdom, and he's talking about his speech, and he's saying his wisdom wasn't man's wisdom or the wisdom I told you it wasn't. His wisdom came with the Spirit's power. Now we're getting somewhere. Are you with me? That your faith might not rest on the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Let me tell you something. We're going to keep reading. When people see and hear the power of God, which is Holy Spirit, coming out of you, they may not have a clue it is, but it's still the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of grace that changes lives. Yet among the mature, we do not impart wisdom, although it is not wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God declared before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as is written, what no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for them that love him. Is there anybody in the house that loves Jesus this morning? Ooh, God said he's got something prepared that's more than you'd realize. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. So what is the word of wisdom? Let's keep going. From the original language, it means something higher, something spiritual, or something otherworldly. It is a supernatural the word of wisdom is the supernatural, say supernatural, manifestation and revelation of the Holy Spirit. Who's God? God the Father, God the Son, God the God, the Holy Spirit is just as much God as Jesus. The Holy Spirit is just, he's not an it or a thing or a presence. The presence of the Lord is the Holy Spirit. Come on now. So when I operate in the word of wisdom, in the ESV, the utterance of wisdom, a spoken word of wisdom operating in me, it's a supernatural revelation and manifestation of Almighty God. And let me insert this again. Usually it's only a fragment. Remember, we see in part. We prophesy in part. We know it. So just remember, if you operate in the word of wisdom, don't get too proud because you only got part of it. He has it all. He will reveal it as he wills as we walk in the Spirit. The whole comparison here is that it comes from revelation. It will usually concern the plans of God. It will concern the purposes of God for a collective church, for a nation, for an individual, for a family. So it can be individual. It can be corporate. It's not based. Look, if you are saved and been baptized in the Holy Spirit and you're 15 years old, you can operate in that gift as the Spirit wills. There's no age limit here. It's not raw knowledge, but it has to do with knowledge. And I can't wait to get the word of knowledge next week. I usually teach word of knowledge before word of wisdom. I flipped them this time. And sometimes when a person is given a word of wisdom, a revelation, supernatural revelation, or is giving it or is receiving it, it just like prophecy, it will depend on that person's response many times. You might receive a word that God is going to heal a relationship you're in this morning, but there's probably going to be some kind of response on your part. Yes? So many times it's conditional on a person's response. Some of y'all, very few now, because we're a brand new church. If you're brand new on the place, welcome, stay, greet somebody like you've known them forever. I mean that. Our arms are really open here, but we moved here we didn't move to about 10 years ago, but we bought this property about 12 years ago. We were in a small building in the neighborhood. Many of you, but not, I mean, there must be 10 or 15 of that original core that was left. And we had outgrown our building for a long time. Many times, me and the council, the board, we went searching for property in South Scottsdale, which at the time was very depressed. The mall was almost completely closed down, two stores in a mega mall. I mean, in South Scottsdale was depressed. We looked for property more than once. Paul Niles was on that board. You remember us looking for properties, and it just got, we could never find anything. We thought there was a church next door. Maybe we could buy theirs. They didn't want to sell. They had asked us many times if we wanted to sell. Well, dear Lord, no, we don't want to sell. We don't be out in the streets. But I'm just trying to give a lot of you a context. One afternoon, right after a Sunday morning service, one of the deacons from next door knocked on my office, and it was the best 30 seconds on Sundays when I finally get to sit down. I don't know how to describe it, because I've usually been on my feet a while. And he said, Father Dale, they called me Father. That's all right. I used to try to change their mind, then I just answered to Father Dale. Don't you dare start calling me Father Dale. Well, the spiritual gift of mischievousness doesn't fall far from the tree, does it? We got a whole church full, and I love it. Oh, stay focused. I just love our kids getting in all kinds of trouble around here, and you parents have to take care of it. I was one of those kids. He came in and said, Father Dale, I know we've been doing this for years, but would you consider selling the property again? We want to ask you again. And In my mind, I wanted to say no, and there was a check in my spirit. I said, you know what? I think we'll consider it. I was even surprised I said it. I said, I'll need to talk to my board, and if that goes well, I'll let you know, and then we'll have to talk to our congregation on a big decision like that. Well, we went to prayer, and we believe God gave us a word of wisdom. He told us to sell the property. We got it confirmed. We prayed a while. We felt the Lord spoke to us. Now, watch this. We didn't have anywhere to go. We'd already looked several times. We weren't shopping. We went to the congregation. And 100% of the membership voted to sell without a place to go. And we had a hallelujah party with nowhere to go. But we'd received a word of wisdom from the Holy Spirit. It's not the wisdom of the world. Wasn't long after that, maybe one, and I've seen people healed, saved, delivered, set free from everything, demons. I've seen it, all kinds of miracles, and we're not done. But one of the biggest miracles I ever saw was when that church, our size, a few weeks later, is only 6 or 8 weeks later, raised $450,000 to put down on an old bowling alley in depressed Scottsdale. And we're in this building today for a lot of reasons, and a faithful God and faithful people and faithful givers and all that. But the real reason we're here is the Holy Spirit said. You think about it, I'm going to hit them quick. And look them up. Let me give you the scripture. I'm not going to read it, but look them up. If you look in Acts 11, chapter 28, you'll find that Agabus was a prophet. I had scriptures for him last week. He was a New Testament prophet that you see in the scriptures quite often. He was told in the spirit that there would be a famine all over the world, and it did take place later. The word of wisdom had something to do with the future. Let me tell you about this. Any of y'all remember Peter's denial? I'll go, and I'm not going to read all the verses. If you want to read it, go read it in Luke 22 later and study it. Unpack it. Watch what I'm teaching you. Go do it. But for sake of time, I'm just going to hit some examples and illustrations. Peter said, I'll go with you wherever you go, Jesus. I mean, he was all out. Jesus said, no, you won't. What? No, in fact, by the time the rooster crows three times, you will deny me. What? That doesn't make sense. Word of wisdom. I think it could illustrate that anyway. The Lord knew what was going to happen. And sure enough, when the rooster crowed, and you can go look at it, it said, Peter remembered the Lord saying. You look it up for sake of time. He did. He did what Jesus said he would do. And he went out and wept bitterly. I love the one about Ananias and Paul. Paul's on the roof in another place getting all these dreams and visions. That's a whole nother teaching. And Ananias, the Lord speaks to Ananias, and he said, he saw Saul, Paul, in a vision. And let me just read it quick. And he says, I want you to go. There's a guy there waiting for you. I want you to go. Now, Ananias said, wait a minute. I've heard about this man. He's killing people all around Jerusalem. It made no sense to go. In the meantime, the Holy Spirit's speaking to Paul. He knows a man's going to come knocking here soon. Come on, somebody. He said, I know he's killing everybody, and it doesn't matter what you think. Go. And he went, and we know the rest of the story. And you see the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge working together there. Today I'm teaching. He told him something that was going to happen in the future in a dream or vision. Sometimes they come in dreams or visions, by the way. They really do. Many of y'all know that. And I understand that. But then he got directions. Now go do it. Here's where he is. Here's what's going to happen. Now you got to go do it. See, the word of knowledge will usually tell you what's going on in somebody's life. And it only comes from the Spirit. It didn't come from everybody. Some of y'all have been touched as God moving. You said, somebody told me the other night, only God would have known that. I went, yep. Pastor, you didn't know that. No. Spirit of the Lord knew that. But once the Spirit of the Lord works in the word of knowledge, which I'll talk about, then the wisdom tells us what to do with the knowledge. That's why a lot of times you see them working together. God's revealing himself. Listen, church, God wants to reveal himself. The Holy Spirit wants to move. The Holy Spirit wants to fill. The Holy Spirit wants to empower you. Ho-hum. God! So there was revelation in this situation. Look, all these situations were a big deal. What happened to Peter's a big deal. What happened with Paul was a big deal. It wasn't even a little deal. Sometimes there's little deals and big deals, but a lot of times when there's a big deal and we don't know what to, watch this, don't know what to do with the deal, we need a supernatural word of wisdom. Just like when we bought this multi-million dollar property without a place to go. But once we made that step, everything else fell in line. I remember, and I've told this story, but not in a long time, and a handful of you know it. When I was first in the ministry, we were going to our first preaching assignment outside the church. We were headed to Kentucky from Florida. I'm driving through Florida. I'm a country boy. Oh, y'all didn't know that, did you? Darla's sound asleep. We're driving. I think we had a little Nissan Sentra diesel. You got on the hill, it wouldn't go 30 miles an hour in those days. There's a lot of hills on her side of the country. That's where we're going, hillbilly. We're driving, and I mean, some of that country that you drive through in Georgia is beautiful. Cattle and soybean fields, cotton. Wow. And I looked over in the distance going down the freeway, probably a mile or two off the freeway, and I saw this beautiful little church building, and I could tell it had a little parsonage. It looked like it had a little educational building, and it was out there in God's country. And I said, Lord, that sure would be nice someday. I was still a bivocational ministry in the church I was in. That sure would be nice. That sure would be great. He said, Dale, I'm not taking you to a little town. You will end up in a big city. So I kind of went like this. Rats. Okay. But it was the Lord. Fast forward 10 years, two staff positions later, moved to Arizona and served down there in a little small town called Casa Grande for 3 years. This was 10 years went by, and then got up here, voted in, took to church. That's a whole nother story. And I think we waited about a month to come preach our first message, which, by the way, was on Easter Sunday. And they put us, and I loved that. I stayed in that little, there's a little apartment back in the back of that building where we could stay. Darla and I and Trey and Kylie in a little, it wasn't even a one-bedroom apartment. But we stayed where we wouldn't have to drive. And, boy, it was my first day, and the Easter service had gone well. In those days, we even had a p.m. service on Easter Sunday. We had church all the time. We needed it. We still need it. Now, get this. Watch this, because I got to move. What a day. My first church. My first service. I was so thrilled. And I want you to know, I'm just as thrilled today as I was then. That's the truth. I walked in that little apartment. I didn't even have my mind. I wasn't even thinking about God, I don't think. And I heard that still, quiet voice say, I told you so. And it stunned me. But I knew it was the Spirit. And I said, you told me what, Lord? He said, I told you I'd bring you to a big city. Word of wisdom from the Lord in a car with your wife snoring. I mean, sleeping. She wasn't. I swear she wasn't. Oh, you're not supposed to swear. Sorry. Let your yes be yes. I know. I saw. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. About 10 of you were doing it. What about Noah? Wow. Word of wisdom. Even how to build an ark. Measurements and everything. Wow. Supernatural. Coming judgment. All that. What about the Apostle John in Revelation 2 and 3? And you can see I'm bopping through it now. Oh, my goodness. Word of knowledge, prophetic word, word of wisdom. This is going to happen because that happened. And wow. What about Joseph? Genesis 37 on. Joseph showed Joseph things 20-whatever years, I'd have to look it up again, before it ever happened. His brothers didn't like it, but it was from God. It was supernatural. His dreams were supernatural. They thought he was just dreaming because he's a proud young man. It was a word of wisdom at least, and then some. Joseph. Church, we need a word from God. We need a word of wisdom from God. We need a prophetic word from it. Don't waver from this thing. Don't ever throw this thing under the bus. This is the main thing, but we constantly need fresh revelation from Almighty God. And that God on this earth is called the Holy Spirit. Supernatural revelation coming from the Almighty. Holy Spirit. It's not Jesus. Jesus in John 14 said, I'm going to go away. I'll be with the Father, but I'm going to send you a comforter, a counselor, a guider, and in power called the Holy Spirit. Say, I need the Holy Spirit. You sure do. And I don't care how long you've been filled. We leak. Just recently, I received a word of wisdom. Many of you know about it. I've shared it, but I don't think I've shared it with all of you. And if I have, bear with me, because I'm winding up here. It's been tough to stay at this property. The church is growing. The church is healthy. But we've had one headshot after another over the years. We have a tenant. We're on the fourth or fifth tenant. But let me say this. We're still standing. Because. But sometimes, especially if you're a pastor and you're praying about it, you kind of feel the weight of it, don't you? If sometimes when you're feeling the weight of something, if you'll be open to it, God will show up with revelation. Do we all feel the weight of something sometime? So I'm studying. I was doing a personal devotional book study in Jeremiah 32. I've been doing all of Jeremiah. I get to Jeremiah 32, and I couldn't get away from that for several days. And I was in, this was 3 or 4 months ago, just kind of feeling the weight of the property issue. I'm just telling you, I'm just being honest. Not pity party type stuff. You just feel the weight of it. And it's been ongoing for 10 years, 12, 11. Took two to get in almost 12 years. We bought it. And remember I told you, and Scottsdale's just now coming back as far as not being depressed. You'll probably notice that the last half a dozen years or so, right? Even in the residential area, there's a lot of good things coming. Well, I'm in Jeremiah 32, and I'm reading, and I'm going to summarize some of it, and I'll read you a few verses, and we'll wrap up here. And I'm just doing a Bible study now. My mind's not on anything, just the Word. And the Lord asked Jeremiah to buy a piece of property that's outside the city walls and the city gates. Now, what's so wild about that? It couldn't have been God. I'm just being sarcastic. Because most likely the Babylonians were already camped out on the property. They're already besieging the walls and the gates of Jerusalem. And there's, I don't know, I might be able to go back and study, and it'd probably just be a guess on some theologian's part. But there were, let's just say, don't hold me to this, there were tens of thousands of Babylonians and weapons all over the place, and I guarantee you they were on that property because it was just outside Jerusalem. So the Spirit of the Lord speaks to Jeremiah, which I believe was a word of wisdom, and said, I want you to buy the property. The Israelites are getting ready to be carried off to Babylon. The Spirit of the Lord said, it was a family member, and if I could put it in today's terminology, I want you to buy that piece of property from a family member, and I want you to pay him full price. Let me tell you what, the enemy was camped out on that property. It wasn't worth a nickel, and in the eyes of man, never had any hopes of being worth more than a nickel. But you know what Jeremiah did, don't you? He bought it because God said, buy it. With judgment at the door, he paid the price and signed the deed because God gave him a promise. Jeremiah 32 and 15, and I'll read it, and then we'll bounce to 42, Stephen. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall again be bought in this land. And then at the end of the chapter, and we'll read it together, verses 4. So he tells him to buy it. It's a word of wisdom from the Spirit of the Lord. It makes no sense. He buys it anyway, even though it's depressed property, and he gives him a promise. Just like God gave this church a promise. For thus says the Lord, just as I have brought all this great disaster upon this people, so I will bring up upon all the good that I have promised them. Fields shall be bought in this land of which you are saying, it is a desolation. There's strip joints across the street. Housing market is sinking. Commercial buildings are empty. McDowell Road doesn't even have an open business hardly on it. It is a desolation without man or beast. It is given into the hand of the Chaldeans. And I want to tell you something. The Chaldeans will not rule this land in the name of Jesus. Fields shall be bought for money, and deeds shall be signed and sealed and witnessed in the land of Jerusalem, in the places about Jerusalem. And in the cities of Judah, and in the cities of the hill country, and the cities of Shephelah, and in the cities of Negeb, for I will restore their fortunes, declares the Lord. And God spoke to me in that moment, and he said, that's the Rock Church, and that's the Rock Church property. That property belongs to me, Dale, and fields will be bought, and deeds will be signed, and lives will be changed, and souls will be saved, and sick will be healed, and the bound will be delivered, and the unfilled will be filled. The deed has been signed at Calvary. God spoke that to me. Marriages will be restored. Families will come back together. What the enemy meant for bad, God always means for good, because that way God always gets the glory. And when you move out on a word of wisdom, a revelation, it's confirmed and you know it's God. Guess what? God always keeps his promises. It's an important season. We need a fresh word from God. We need a supernatural word of wisdom. How about you personally? I've gone a little longer than usual. I just can't get through the stuff, y'all. But it looks like most of you are with me and only two sleeping. That's all right. I did pretty good. That's pretty good. What about you? You need a word from God this morning, personally? For your family? Might be a job or this or that, or more crucial than that even. Is there anybody in the house that needs a fresh revelation from God? Are you willing to trust the voice of the air traffic controller called the Holy Spirit? You like the way I brought that one back? I knew you would. And we've got to keep knowing the Word and be full of the Spirit. Some of you in a fog this morning. A little fuzzy, don't know whether to go right or left. Or what is that decision you're facing? Or maybe, listen, maybe you're in a holding pattern. Oh, and you don't know why. Oh, I got to say that one again. Because you know what? It's a word from God. Maybe you're in a holding pattern and you don't understand why. I found in most of my holding patterns, I never personally understood what was going on after I got through. But I had to trust the voice of the Holy Spirit when my life is in a fog. Because that's one thing I know is the Holy Spirit knows what's going on. Jesus knows what's going on. The God I serve knows what's going on. He knows where I need to land. He knows how to guide me there. Even when I think I know what he knows, I don't know what he knows. I've got to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. I've got to hold on to the Word of God firmly and listen for that still, quiet, because Jesus will always, through the Holy Spirit, give direction. Give the Lord a hand this morning. Stand. Thank y'all. You let me preach all day, two Sundays in a row.